You're listening to Scaling Up Services, where we speak with entrepreneurs, authors, business experts, and thought leaders to give you the knowledge and insights you need to scale your service-based business faster and easier. And now, here is your host, business coach Bruce Eckfeldt.
This episode of Scaling Up Services is brought to you by Dash VA. Dash VA provides virtual assistant services for growing businesses, everything from managing emails and schedules to top-notch research and marketing support. Dash VA has revolutionized my day-to-day operations, taking on all of the nitty-gritty so that I can focus on the tasks that really matter. And let me tell you, it's not just about getting the job done. It's about how they do it, with efficiency, dedication, and a keen understanding of my business needs. If you're an entrepreneur or small business owner, having a great virtual assistant is not just a convenience, it's your secret weapon. It allows you to focus on what you do best, growing your business. You know what they say, if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. So if you're ready to join the virtual revolution and supercharge your productivity, visit dashva.nyc to learn more about how they can help you elevate your business. With Dash VA, it's not just about success. It's about partnering with a team that's committed to your mission. Visit dashva.nyc to learn more. Now, back to our episode. Welcome, everyone. This is Scaling Up Services. I'm Bruce Eckfeldt. I'm your host. Our guest today is Stacy Sussman. She is Chief Revenue Officer at RevUp Advisory. We're going to talk about scale. We're going to talk about sales. We're going to talk about what does it take to grow and scale your business in a repeatable, consistent, systematic way. I love this conversation. I think this is one of the big challenges that companies have when they go to grow is how do I really drive revenues, not just increase revenues, but increase them predictably in a systematic way that is going to be sustainable. I think a lot of companies struggle with this. They go through fits and starts and go through people and have all sorts of challenges when they're trying to figure out how to grow the company, and revenues are going to be the big part of that. So excited for this conversation. With all that, Stacy, welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. Super excited to be here and super excited to be chatting with you, Bruce. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Thanks for taking the time today. So before we kind of dive into what you're doing today and everything with RevUp Advisory, let's get a little background. I guess, how did you get into this space? How did you get into sales? How did you get into revenue? Give us a little bit of the story.
Sure. So I am a former and recovering sales leader at the end of the day. I was in New York City. I worked at some of the most notable publishing houses back in the day. That's what was cool. When I graduated college, I worked at Condé Nast. I worked at Rodale. I worked at Meredith. Some of these companies don't even exist anymore. Yeah, they're merged with bigger companies. But I will say that's where I got my training and sort of my expertise in sales and selling. Back in the day, you were thrown into the fire, but I worked under notable sellers and I got to see firsthand how they were selling into big brands. I was on the phones with CEOs, COOs of Fortune 500 companies, ranging from Macy's and Bloomingdale's to every sort of tabletop company to big entertainment companies. And so I was watching what these sellers were doing and I wanted to do it myself. And so for a long time, almost 17 years, I started as a sales assistant, moved up the ranks, and had my own book of business. My favorite job was at New York Media, New York Magazine. I was American and European fashion seller. And ooh, then, fun. Yeah, oh, that was so much fun. That was like the premier time of New York Magazine in their heyday, I'll say.
Yeah.
I saw Vulture and The Cut. There's so much really fun stuff that happened. And they were owned by a money person. They were owned by Bruce Wasserstein. So almost like what the equivalent is now to like a venture studio at this time. Yeah. So it was super interesting to understand the parallels of that to what I'm doing today. And then I ran sales teams. I was at Daily Mail for a long time also. And I decided that I wanted to sort of get off the corporate ramp and I wanted to start my own firm. I knew how to sell. I was really great at that. I was hustling all over New York and I traveled all over the United States. But I realized there was more than just sales that are part of what a growth strategy is at the end of the day. And there was a whole ecosystem of other departments and other people that you needed to utilize and work symbiotically together in order to get there. And so that's why I started my own consulting firm.
Yeah. And so I'm always curious when people start kind of these ventures or start their own firms, like, was there a client that got you into it? Was there Like, what were the sort of driving forces at the time that really pushed you into getting things going?
Yeah, so I was in New York City. I was on the media sales, I'll say, hamster wheel. And I just looked around and I was like, do the senior leadership have what I want out of life? I was newly married. I had one child at the time. And I said, there are things that I felt like they gave up in life in order to get really high up in their career. And I wanted to write my own rules at the end of the day. And so I took the off ramp. I methodically took the off ramp and I grew a business at the end of the day. But I felt like, why couldn't I have kids? And why couldn't I have a family? And why couldn't I run my own business? I just didn't feel like in corporate, something had to give. And I didn't want that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And so what were the early kind of days like? I guess give a sense of the kind of the arc of the business and where did you find traction? What kind of do you learn? Where did things evolve for you as an agency?
Yeah. So it's about 6 years. We're in March. We're coming up on our 6 year anniversary, which is this month. And so I would say when I started, I didn't know what I was doing. To be perfectly honest, Bruce, I was like, okay, I'm a former seller. So I effectively was like an interim head of sales when I first started my agency. But, and I also took on some marketing projects. I was designing websites and I loved it, but I didn't say no to anything, right? When you're starting your own business, you just say yes to everything. And projects came to me from my people knew me in the industry, people knew who I was, and they knew I was starting my own venture. So projects started coming to me, but they weren't actually what I wanted to do. It took a long time to really niche into what the company is today, but I wouldn't change anything about it because I think you have to talk to a lot of people, you have to do a lot of client engagements and projects, and you sort of have to figure out yourself. Now I have a business coach and I've been at masterminds and cohorts and I've up-leveled what my niche is, but it took me a while to figure out what that is.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you kind of approach the market. Like, where did you find traction? Who were you working with? What are the problems that you were solving for folks? Give us a little sense of the actual work that you've done.
Yeah. So I've sort of done everything in sales at the end of the day, from teaching people how to sell to creating sort of outbound functions, which I would call them today. I've run sales teams. I've done pipeline reviews. I've done systems integrations, but I've sort of expanded what that looked like. I mean, at the heart of it, I am a seller at the end of the day, but there is a whole go-to-market strategy where everyone has to work what I call symbiotically, from marketing to sales to customer success to finance to product. And it's broadened sort of my skill set, broadened my horizons. And at the end of the day, I think that's how companies, scale-up companies, truly grow at the end of the day. And when these departments are siloed or there's a lot of finger-pointing, which I still see with my clients today, they're just going to stall your growth. And at the end of the day, we're all looking to make more money.
Yeah. And so I guess, what are some of the things you've learned? Like, for as you've been working with companies, what are some of the principles or kind of fundamentals that you find that you're helping them understand or put in place in terms of their strategies?
Yeah. So I would say no one has it perfect. So don't beat yourself up. Don't feel sad about it. Not everyone has it perfect. Everyone's systems aren't integrated perfectly. People's data's aren't there. The seller, the customer journey is not always perfect. But what I've learned is there's a lot of patterns to go-to-market strategy, and there's a lot of patterns to what growth is. And so I've taken the Cliff Notes over the past 6 years and then 17 years actually being a seller and being on the front lines in Manhattan and sort of saying a lot of companies need to follow what I would call like this new playbook. And because I've worked with high growth, high velocity technology companies, they're doing this at warp speed, like companies you wouldn't even believe. And so I can understand that if we put a go-to-market strategy in place, it has to align to the executive vision of the company at the end of the day. Even if a few of us are sort of privy to what that looks like, I have companies that are merging. I have companies that are selling themselves to the competitors. I have companies that if they don't hit, you know, an 18-month runway there and get some fundraising, they're going to go out of business. But there is a framework and a strategy and a mythology that you need to input in order to get to some of these milestones. I also believe some of these milestones are unrealistic, and I'm more than happy to tell them that. And that's why some of these scale-up companies are where they are. But at the end of the day, this is not the sexy part of running a business, but it is so important.
Yeah. So what are some of these? I mean, I guess you mentioned this kind of modern playbook or kind of the new playbook. Like, what in essence are we trying to kind of shift toward, or what's the difference between how maybe companies have been approaching sales previously and kind of now in the world that we're in and the tools that we have and kind of processes? Like, what is the new way of selling for most of these companies?
Yes. So take the old playbook or your stale, outdated Word documents, burn them and throw them out in the garbage, because at the end of the day, they're not working. The days of spraying your TAM or SAM, SOM or your ICP, just all these blanketed garbage emails. Honestly, Bruce, I get them on LinkedIn and in my inbox every day. Do you want a lead generation survey? I don't know anything about you. I don't know who you are, what you stand behind. I get hundreds of those a month. And so that doesn't work, right? At the end of the day, I feel like networking is a big piece, and not just networking like Bruce and I, you know, met a while ago in New York and have known each other. It's like, I have a specific product. My product is able to solve this. So I have one client that is a marketing technology company. And at the end of the day, when they're looking to do research for the company, they interview customers and ask them about their product. That is a very labor-intensive sort of manual process. My client has automated that. There's an app that you can sign into. You record videos of yourself. But at the end of the day, there's still a specific market that they can go after. And so I lost my train of thought.
Talking about, no longer the old playbooks with the value proposition, you know, spraying everyone on LinkedIn. You're the example of the client that had was able to automate this using a tool. It sounds like it was some kind of video creation tool.
Yeah. And so they're able to sort of automate what this looks like. And so now they've actually solved like a real need in the market for people, that some of this stuff could take like 3 to 6 months in order to like cobble together with like manual interviews and hire a lot of people to go out and interview. They've used technology in order to make this like a short window of time that they can take this advice and this expertise and make it really actionable. And so they have a very specific market that they want to go after. And so I think, as you know, tiering accounts and kind of coming up with an ABM model, but not just the sellers going out and reaching out to like their top 50 accounts. They have marketing doing sort of an ABM model through a marketing automation tool. Let's call it HubSpot for this example. And they're running campaigns against, let's say, Campbell's Soup. They also have a seller that has Campbell's Soup as a client. But if we know, Campbell's Soup has tons of lines of businesses that are under their umbrella. So it's not only landing the client and getting that new business, it's expanding the client, whether it's a cross sell, whether it's an upsell. They merged with a company, they bought a new technology because their customers kept asking and saying, hey, if you have this other thing, we'll give more money to your bottom line. And so they bought a customer, and guess what? They're able to grow the revenue for this example, Campbell's Soup. And I think the big piece is customer success at the end of the day. It's not a call center. We know that, right, Bruce?
Yep.
It is a way to actually make more revenue in your business at the end of the day. I feel like the customer success team is a huge way to grow the revenue for your business. And people are slowly getting behind that. But I think that's a new way of thinking.
And I guess, why is that? Like, what is the, like, why has this been difficult for people to kind of understand or see? Is this just like old habits? Is this, they don't understand the new, like, changes in the customer environment?
I think people aren't really understanding of this idea that the customer journey follows you internally across various departments. And then this example, we're talking marketing, sales, and customer success. And then I think externally, if you work so hard to get a client at the end of the day, your best clients will be the people that already know you and already love you and already like working with you. And so I think the idea that it was sort of this back office call center that could solve problems, those people are actually talking to your customers day in and day out after the initial new business deal. Mm-hmm. And if you start looking at the revenue of different companies, new business may end up being a small piece of your revenue, and returning business, and this is renewals, cross sells, upsells that I'm talking to, can end up being a larger part of the revenue. I also think that everyone at the company should have a mindset of being revenue generating at the end of the day. And I do feel like that's a new way of thinking. Marketing's like, oh, I handed you a bunch of leads. Now go and figure it out, sellers. But really what I do from a process, people, and technology standpoint is we create what I call closed loop reporting. And so marketing's effort, and then the Campbell's example with the ABM model, they are paying for ads to those Campbell soup people. Sales then closes a line of business within Campbell soup. And now you have 15 other lines of business in Campbell soup that you can go after. So if we can attribute everyone's efforts from marketing to sales to customer success to growing Campbell soup, which is a huge brand name, business would be doing so much better. And if we can repeat that once and repeat that twice and repeat that 15 and 50 times, think of how much more efficient your growth would be. And I'm not talking about growth hacks, quick fixes. I'm talking about being really strategic and systematic about it, using growth hacks in order to get to these revenue goals that people want to see.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned technology a couple of different times. You mentioned HubSpot, and I'm just curious, like, how much is technology driving a lot of these strategies, either generally or specifically?
Yeah, so I think the first start is executive alignment, and I call this the North Star roadmap. So it's like, what is the direction that the company is going in? And that is crucial, important that everyone at the company is on the same page about the revenue goals, but also defining what that looks like. And then from there, I think technology can do anything at the end of the day. Most of our work is in HubSpot and Salesforce specifically, with every integration that goes into either of those ecosystems. You can get technology to do anything you want. The sky is the limit at the end of the day. But if you don't have that North Star roadmap and that audit of where is the business now, I call current state, versus where's the business going, which I call future state, the technology is useless at the end of the day.
Yeah. And what are you looking for there? Like, what is important to define on those things? And how does it help you then make decisions and get clarity when it comes to actual sales strategies and sales products?
So we're looking for operational ease and efficiency in order to grow the business. So we're not just looking at it from a people and talent standpoint. We're also looking at it from a system standpoint. I think those two really need to work hand in hand and in unison together. I have a consulting background in revenue operations. It is a sort of new age thinking and sort of new age term that I think fast growing technology companies understand, but I think a lot of other industries don't even understand what that is. So I actually call it operations at the end of the day, but I think revenue operations is a more exact term for it. And so I think it's just a new way of thinking that the market really needs to be educated on at the end of the day, because they just don't understand what it is because they don't really know about it and they can't grasp their hands around it. You understand what sales is and you understand what marketing is, but so much has changed with high velocity technology companies. I'm able to see across hundreds of companies at one time that I say I get like a modern day MBA on what all this means.
And I guess what's the process for this? I mean, where do you start? What are the first questions that you need to kind of answer? What do you put in place when? Like, how does a company really put in place a more strategic selling system, selling process, rather than, or how do they implement this?
Yeah, so everyone needs to do an audit at the end of the day. And it's so ridiculously funny that no one wants to do an audit because everyone thinks their processes are perfect and their systems are up to snuff. But then again, like, why are they hiring us at the end of the day? So we do stakeholder interviews where we ask a series of questions, typically to the management team. And because we are looking at systems, we talk to sort of end users in these various departments that I've mentioned. And we also do a technology audit from a systems perspective. And at the end of the day, we are delivering what I call this North Star roadmap, where we waterfall all the gaps that the company has from a visibility standpoint in order to grow the revenue. My superpower is identifying what these gaps are, and I've done it hundreds of times that I could see this really easily. But I find this is a big blind spot with a lot of companies. They just can't see it. They don't know it's coming. But once we get in and we have these conversations, it's really easy for us to see that. And so I think that's the start. And like I said, not sexy. We ask a lot of why questions and we're trying to really understand how things are done. And the reason that we ask this is because typically you end up hiring my team because your growth has stalled. You don't know how to do it differently. You tell me you've tried sort of every way till Sunday, but you can't figure it out. Or you know there's a better way to do growth at the end of the day, but you need an outside consulting firm to come in and point you in the right direction. So I think no one wants to pay for this sort of audit at the end of the day, but it has to be where you start at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess walk us through an audit. What are the things you mentioned your superpower is kind of finding these gaps and where this is where, like, what are the gaps that you're typically finding? What typically comes up in this report?
Yeah, so we're looking to map the customer journey from an internal process perspective and an external process perspective. So we're looking at the systems at the end of the day to say, do you have what I talked to you earlier about closed loop reporting? Are you able to measure marketing efforts as it relates to sales? Are you buying sponsorships or booths at a conference? And what is the return on investment in that? Are you taking your top 50 clients every quarter, every month, every half annually out to dinner? And are you seeing like an ROI on a lot of this investment? So there's a lot of activity metrics that go on from a marketing standpoint and a sales standpoint, because you're spending money to do all these different things. You need the money spent to be smaller, and then you have to have the revenue coming in and grow bigger. And so I find a lot of companies, honestly, are just wastefully spending money on sponsorships or dinners or big ticket events. But like, what is the ROI? I spent $30,000 at a booth at a March conference, and we got, for the past 3 years, $0 in sales from the conference. Do we actually need to have a booth there, or could we just send three people there and they can sort of run around the conference floor and go out for dinner with top tiered clients or top prospects they want to go after? That's a different kind of spend at the end of the day.
Yeah. I guess, how do you calculate an ROI on some of those things? So you take clients out to dinner, like, what is the tracking? Is that activity get reported against the account? And then you're looking at, all right, well, did it move the needle on these accounts or not? Or how do you actually track this down to a return?
Sure. So in the sales example of taking people out to dinner, I think if we're talking Salesforce, that's an activity metric tracking. So there is a formula that you would create that says, I need to have 17 touch points with General Mills in order for General Mills to close a six-figure deal. And so you have to create what I call benchmarks around this. And everyone always says to me, hey, Stacey, well, what are the benchmark numbers and what should they look like? And I always say, benchmark against yourself and start there, because I just threw out the number 17 activity or touch points in order for General Mills to close a six-figure deal. Is that accurate? Is that inaccurate? I don't know, but we need to start somewhere. And so maybe General Mills is a premier account and in our like top 10, but if we tiered sort of our account list and say our top accounts, they may take longer to close at the end of the day from a sales velocity perspective because there's so many stakeholders and it needs to go through legal and there's a lot of champions. That's okay. But then I have some clients that are selling lower ticket items that you can essentially put on the credit card. And so that may have a shorter sales velocity and a shorter amount of activities and touch points in order to close the sale. So those are sort of activity metrics at the end of the day. And I think the same applies for marketing also. So there's campaigns in HubSpot. And so if we're going to buy a booth at a March conference, we're going to do social media posts and newsletters. And so you can tie all those sort of campaign assets to the campaign. Mm-hmm. And you can track that all the way through to what marketing's doing, what sales is doing to close the deal or opportunity at the end of the day, and then what is the revenue you won or theoretically lost for the company.
Got it. So it's really, it's sort of track it against yourself and then figure out what's working, what's not, and where you want to make improvements, and then you track the improvements.
Exactly. But yeah. I always say you need to have data-backed business decisions. And I say it's the 80-20 rule. So I'm a big technology person. So I'm like 80% of the decision should be based on analyzing data, looking at reports, looking at dashboards, and making sure your data has stability and it's actually healthy so you can actually trust the numbers. Because I can't even tell you how many companies are doing this in Excel spreadsheets at the end of the day where there's so much human error. That's another pattern I see. And then 20% I think is based on real life experience, past jobs, seniority, etc.
Yeah. Where are some of the big mistakes that you see companies making in this process?
People don't want to go back to the fundamentals. The company evolves. What a company looked like on year one versus year five versus year 15, whatever that sort of journey is, they keep the fundamentals of how the company looked like in year one, and they never go back and sort of update that. I find that to be a huge red flag and a huge problem because your company grows and evolves as does your team, as does your department. So I think that's huge. And I also feel like people, oh, we're going to have this kind of yearly summit where we're going to say, here's the big initiative for the year. And then December of that year, we're going to look back at it and say, oh, did we hit any of our goals? I think this needs to be looked at in much shorter increments. So you may have a vision for where the company goes in 12 months, but I would also break it down into quarterly objectives and sort of granularly into monthly and weekly objectives for the team. So we're all treading towards that executive vision and roadmap for the company. But at the end of the day, there's milestones that we can be doing in month and quarterly increments that can actually move the needle. So when we get to the end of the year and say everyone's gold on a revenue bonus for the team, we can actually hit that.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? I mean, it comes to kind of incentivizing or implementing these systems. Like, where do people get tripped up? What do you need to focus on to make sure that, you know, the system you've designed and the process you've designed actually gets used?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, but that's training and enablement, which I think is huge. I can architect processes and people and systems at the end of the day, but if there's not change management, if there's not training on this, if there's not documentation, and honestly, at this point in time, I like to do video documentation because no one wants to sit and watch a No one wants to sit for 15 pages in a Word document and read. They're just not going to do it at the end of the day. Short videos, minute, two, three, that tells them sort of what they need to do and how they need to get there, what I call like a knowledge base at the end of the day. I think that's important. And then I do think it's important to get the team out of the office. I think folks are remote these days. Get everyone to a location, a retreat, wherever you want to go, and get the team together. I feel like teams are more remote than ever these days, and getting them live in person, whether it's, I think once a year is honestly too few, but I would try to do it quarterly or half annually where you're getting everyone together and getting that camaraderie up. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And how do people get started? Like, what's the first step in this process, or kind of initial phases in terms of company is interested in kind of rethinking or putting together a more strategic selling process? Where do you start?
So, I mean, we start with a discovery call, like any good salesperson would say at the end of the day. But I am looking to work with clients that understand this new wave philosophy, are ready to kind of throw out the old playbooks and light them on fire. And so I'm trying to get an understanding of whether the executive teams at the end of the day are really on board with what I'm preaching, because if they're not, it's just not going to be a successful engagement at the end of the day. So if they're ready to change and they're ready to grow and they're ready to do it differently at the end of the day, I'm all for it. But I asked a lot of questions during the discovery process to order to understand, just because you say you're ready doesn't mean you're actually ready from a company standpoint. So I think that's step one. And then from there, we would go to sort of an audit and analysis phase where we would interview the stakeholders and the team to come up with what the scope of the engagement looks like at the end of the day. Because although there are patterns and systems, what I believe is part of this go-to-market strategy and sort of revenue operations implementation and sort of sales and coaching, there is like a process we follow internally in order to get you there.
Yeah, excellent. Stacey, if people want to find out more about you, more about the work that you do, what's the best way to get that information?
Sure. You can find me at email, Stacey@RevUpAdvisory. I am super active on LinkedIn. You can also connect with me there. You can check out our website too, RevUpAdvisory.com. And I'm in email and I'm in LinkedIn all the time.
Excellent. I'll make sure that that information is in the show notes so that people can get that. Stacey, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been a pleasure.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Scaling Up Services with business coach Bruce Eckfeldt. To find a full list of podcast episodes, download the tools and worksheets, and access other great content, visit the website at scalingupservices.com. And don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter at scalingupservices.com/newsletter.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.